Hello, and thanks for viewing this Digital Marketing Rockstar Breakout Session, SEO Best Practices to Drive Sales in 2012. I'm Joe Keenan, Senior Editor of eMarketing and Commerce and host of this session. Today we have Stefan Spencer on hand to discuss search engine optimization. Stefan is an expert on the topic, having founded SEO agency Net Concepts, which was acquired by Covario in 2010. He's also written several books on the topic of SEO, including Google Power Search and The Art of SEO. Stefan is now working on creating a video SEO training and coaching program. Take it away, Stefan.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. I'm going to go through at a pretty fast clip here, a bunch of tips and tactics and strategies, which will hopefully drive some serious ROI for you in 2012. So let's go ahead and get cracking. Now, who am I? Just so you know why I'm speaking to you today and giving you the advice that I am somewhat qualified. I have, as Joe mentioned, come up with a couple of books. One's Google Power Search, and the other is The Art of SEO. That one I'm a co-author on, and incidentally, that is coming out in a second edition next month. I'm very excited to say. I founded Net Concepts, an SEO agency, way back in the 90s, and sold that in 2010. Been picking up some new things in the meantime since leaving Net Concepts and Covario, and one of those Joe alluded to is SEO training and coaching program. So interesting tidbit about me that you may not have known is that I lived in New Zealand for almost 8 years because, of course, in the internet industry, you can do that stuff from anywhere. I tested the theory, and it actually does work. I had an office a block from the beach, and it was fantastic. Here's a screenshot of the cover of The Art of SEO and of Google Power Search. All right, so what are we going to cover in these next, say, 20 minutes or so? I'm picking 10 critical SEO best practices to dive into. These include keyword brainstorming and tool usage, SEO tool usage, competitive intelligence, and social media strategy, integration with SEO, duplicate content mitigation, SEO mythology and how to not get caught up in all that, and things to do to avoid being labeled by Google as a spammer. So that's what we're up to cover here in the next 20 minutes. So let's start with the first one, which is use your customer's vocabulary, not industry vernacular. Your customer doesn't speak industry speak, right? So they're not going to use terminology, let's say, like kitchen electrics, which is a term referring to food processors and blenders and so forth. I've never heard somebody use that term in a sentence in real life. Of course, that's the industry term when you're talking about that type of product, but nobody's going to search on that, so we don't want to use that as the category name on our website. Another example, home loan versus mortgage. The customers, so the customer base is going to be using mortgage in the Google search box, not typically home loan, yet I worked with a large bank that their legal department insisted you could not use the term mortgage anywhere on the website because that is a legal instrument. They don't offer that legal instrument. They offer the home loan portion, and then that legal instrument of the mortgage is handled separately by another entity, and they missed out big time because of that ruling from legal. I jokingly refer to the legal department as the business prevention department. You know, it's like just the ideas that come out of the legal sometimes are just bizarre. Another example is hoodie versus hooded sweatshirt. And, of course, the customers are using hoodie, whereas you might be using hooded sweatshirt. So that disconnect means that you're not going to show up for folks who are typing in hoodie because you're using the wrong terminology. Here's a screenshot of a tool called Google Trends. It's a free tool from Google, and you can juxtapose different keywords and see the popularity of in terms of search volume with those keywords. So here's an example of home loan versus mortgage. And as you can see, home loan was nowhere near as popular. On this screen now, you see kitchen electrics versus kitchen appliances. The kitchen electrics keyword doesn't even have enough volume to show up on this chart. So clearly, kitchen electrics is not a good keyword to be using. Now, this one might be counterintuitive to you. This example is digital camera versus digital cameras. Intuitively, you might think, well, digital cameras would probably be the more popular one, but as you can see, it's the singular that is by far, it's like twice as popular year in, year out, holiday season after holiday season. You see how this spikes during the November-December timeframe because of holidays. And then finally, this example of hoodie versus hooded sweatshirt, where, as you can see, hoodie is gaining in popularity, and it far eclipses hooded sweatshirt, which stays pretty stagnant down near the bottom there, and hoodie just is becoming more and more popular. Our next tip here is to brainstorm for keyword opportunities where, let's say that I'll just give you a hypothetical example. Let's say that you're selling baby furniture, bassinets and cribs and so forth. Of course, those keywords, bassinets, cribs, baby furniture, are obvious. But you might not have thought to go after other keywords that are not quite as obvious. So if you use keyword brainstorming tools, and I'll show you a couple here in the next minute, you could end up finding that, wow, baby names is actually a really fantastic keyword, hugely popular, far eclipses many of the other baby-related keywords out there. And although I'm not selling baby names, I'm selling baby furniture, it's the same market. Expectant parents are typing in that keyword. So why not offer something of value for those searchers and then do a soft sell of my furniture and so forth once they arrive? And you could do a soft sell in the form of like a checklist for nesting for your new baby. And that's like a free download. They get that. They get on your list, and then you can continue to market to them. So great opportunity there that may have never occurred to you until you actually did the brainstorming. So another quick example here, my daughter is a blogger and an SEO. She started when she was 13 with a site called Neopets, and she created a fan site about Neopets, which is a virtual pet site. Her site is called neopetsfanatic.com, and she did her keyword brainstorming by typing into the Google search box Neopets and then let the auto-suggest, the auto-completion, give her recommendations of popular keywords that start with the word Neopets. And Neopets Cheats was a hugely popular keyword, so she named her site the Ultimate Neopets Cheats site because of that. And consequently, she ended up ranking quite well for Neopets Cheats. If she would have picked Neopets Tips or Hints instead, that would have been not nearly as good of a choice because it just wasn't nearly as popular. And here's her site, the Neopets Fanatic site. Very proud of her. She monetizes that site with Google AdSense, so she makes money off of people clicking on the Google ads that appear on her site. So the baby furniture example I gave, here you're typing into the Google search box first letters of the word baby, and you see baby names just top of the list, right? Usually popular. Now, another tip here, notice the web history link is circled here. I just want to say that, and actually the screenshot's a little bit old, but it's now underneath the little flywheel icon over in the very top right of your search results. You click on that and you'll see web history. If you turn that off, you click on the web history link and you end up on a page that looks like this, where it says disable customizations based on search activity. And by doing that, you'll get non-personalized results for your computer, and also be sure to log out of your Google account. And that will give you non-personalized results so you can see what other people see and not what's tailored by Google to your particular interests based on your past searches. So you can say, oh, well, yeah, I actually am number one, not just for me as a Joe Schmo or whatever, but for the generic Internet user. Also, another quick tip on that point is click on the change location link over in the left-hand side of the Google search results. If you have a city listed there that Google thinks that you're based in, it's going to be tailored then those search results with local results for that geographic area, and you can change that. Just click on the change location and put in USA, and that will give you generic U.S.-based results instead of specific to wherever you're at, Dallas or Detroit or Cleveland or wherever. This tool here that I'm showing now is called Suvel. It's really a neat free little tool. You start typing in keystrokes, and it does the auto-completion for you. And here you can see a screenshot showing I just started typing. There's the letter B, and it populates the auto-suggestions come in from not only Google, but also Amazon, Yahoo, Bing, YouTube, Answers.com, and Wikipedia. Really cool. So as I continue to type keystrokes, so now I typed B-A-B-Y, and you can see clearly baby names is at the top of the list for Google, for Yahoo, for Bing. But, yeah, it's just it's really cool. It's a fun little interactive tool. As you type your keystrokes, it starts filling in all these recommendations of keywords, and it's a fun thing to show your boss and impress them. All right, so speaking of tools, we want to make sure that we're using the tools properly. And what I mean by that is if, for example, you're just doing a Google search and you are logged in, you're getting personalized results instead of getting more generic results, and you're going to your boss saying, look, we're number one. I just did a search, and here we are. Well, it could be only for you, and when you log out, your rankings actually are quite low. So know how to use the tools properly so you get the right data out of them. Your Google Trends, there's Google AdWords keyword tool and so forth. Unfortunately, Yahoo Site Explorer is been decommissioned, but Open Site Explorer is another replacement tool that's from SEO Moz. That's really great. So log in to your Google account when you're using Google Trends and Google AdWords keyword tool so that you're getting better and more comprehensive data. When you're using the Google AdWords keyword tool, want to make sure that you have chosen the exact match mode instead of broad match mode, which is the default. Because like here in this example, you can see that I did a check on how much search volume there is for the keyword blog, and wow, that's a huge number. That 100 and whatever million global monthly searches for the word blog based on broad match data, that's actually a hugely inflated number. It's not real. It includes keywords like blog marketing and how to start a blog and how to blog, et cetera, all those various searches are added in to make the 181 million number of searches, which is completely bogus. So turn off broad match, so unclick that box and click exact so that you get an actual real number of searches for folks who are looking for the, typing in the word blog by itself. And you can see the number is massively different. It's down to only a couple million now. So important tip there. Next tip is to synergize your organic search with your paid search. Rather than having them cannibalize each other, where let's say that you're buying traffic with AdWords that you could have gotten and would have gotten for free through organic search, that'd be a real unfortunate circumstance, and that happens a lot of the time. So capture or leverage paid search and synergize with it, with your SEO initiatives, and try to avoid the cannibalization. Now, the time I have allotted here doesn't give me enough to go into detail on how to do that, but I wrote an article on Search Engine Land that kind of delves into this topic a bit more, so feel free to check that out if you're interested in learning more. Next best practice I'm going to suggest to you is to gather intelligence, competitive intelligence, that you can then leverage for your own benefit. And that would include looking at their inbound links, looking for opportunities to get links from some of the same sites that your competitors are getting links from. You can use tools like Open Site Explorer, Majestic SEO, link research tools to find these opportunities. think about how you could leverage the PageRank that's flowing into your site more effectively, and study your competitors and how they're doing it, how they're flowing PageRank around with their internal linking structure, see how you can kind of one-up what they're doing and learn from their successes and their mistakes. Building link-worthy content. Look for opportunities where the competitors are not seizing opportunities. In the case of baby furniture, if your competitors don't have an area of their site created targeted to the area of baby names, overused baby names, new trends in baby names, baby name meanings, ridiculous baby names, all those sorts of secondary terms as well as the head term of baby names, thought what a missed opportunity. So look for those sort of greenfield opportunities that are not being seized by your competitors yet. And, of course, if you feel like playing whack-a-mole, you could always dob in your competitors if they're doing spamming tactics or buying links. I'm not a huge fan of that myself personally. I think you should just focus on improving your own stuff rather than try to turn in your competitors. But, yeah, some people have had some great success turning in their competitors to Google through Google Webmaster Tools. There's a paid link report form and a spam report form within Google Webmaster Tools. All right, so here's a quick example of the tools I mentioned: Open Site Explorer, Link Research Tools, Majestic SEO. Just some screenshots here showing the tools in use. This is Open Site Explorer from SEO Moz, and it gives some really great SEO metrics for each page and each link, including Moz Rank, which is an approximation of PageRank, Moz Trust, which is an approximation of Trust Rank, and Page Authority is another metric they have. So they, of course, report on all the inbound links and the anchor text used, and whether it's a followed link or no followed link. It's really a helpful tool. It has multiple tabs, so you can dig into details around anchor text usage and the links pointing to you, and what are the top domains that are linking to you in terms of the page authority that those pages have or those sites have. Good stuff. Another tool I really like is Majestic SEO, and here's a screenshot of that tool. It will show you either link acquisition over time, just in terms of total numbers, or it'll show you a cumulative view. This is the cumulative view here of links over time. So you can see that you're acquiring links at a much faster clip than another industry site or other industry sites that you're comparing yourself to, and say, oh, geez, maybe I'm doing this a bit too aggressively and I'm going to get flagged for this. So another tool that I'm a huge fan of is called Link Research Tools, and it has a whole suite of tools within it, the Link Juice Thief, the Common Backlinks tool, Backlink Profiler, Competitive Landscape Analyzer, all sorts of really amazing tools inside of that. Here we're looking at the Backlink Profiler, showing on this screenshot the themes of the sites that are linking to you or to a competitor, whoever you're checking. And you can see the distribution of the types of links that are pointing to you. It's many kind of business economy type of links versus computer internet type of sites that are linking to you, et cetera. And if you scroll down, then you can see a breakdown of the anchor text usage. Are people primarily using your brand name when they're linking to you, or click here, or check this out, or what have you? And then you can see the details here of all the links that are pointing to you or your competitor, and the anchor text, the type of link, whether it's followed or no followed, the Moz Rank score, AC Rank, that's the Majestic SEO page rank type equivalent, and so forth. So pretty amazing tool. The Competitive Landscape Analyzer, which is also part of Link Research Tools, shows you similar sort of breakdowns of by theme of site, by type of site, and so forth, and allows you to go beyond that to actually juxtapose yourself against a group of competitors for particular keywords. So you can see if you stick out like a sore thumb because you have way too many bloggy links compared to your top competitors, or conversely, you have way too few bloggy links, and that looks suspect and makes you stick out like a sore thumb. So you're only as good as the tools that you have at your disposal, so you really need to have some industrial strength tools that make your job easier to build links and look for opportunities and so forth. Another tip here is execute a social media strategy that's driven by SEO needs. And what I mean by that is that instead of just trying to get a profile on Twitter and get Facebook followers and so forth that just gets you notoriety or a fan base or what have you, that doesn't drive ROI nearly as much as if you were to connect this up, the social media strategy, to your SEO initiatives. And a way to do that is to create link bait content. Those could be articles, top 10 lists, how-tos, personality tests, quizzes, checklists, worksheets, et cetera, that are viral in nature, are extremely link-worthy, and then you seed those into social media like StumbleUpon, like Dig, Reddit, and so forth and so on. And that's much more of a successful, effective way of leveraging social media than just simply trying to build your brand. I'm not dissuading you from trying to build your brand in social media. I'm just saying you need to have SEO as an underpinning to your social media strategy. One also crucial element to this is to have power users who submit, power users on these social media sites submitting your content instead of just you doing it, or some new anonymous account that just doesn't have any street cred, has no followers, has no credibility. You have much better uptake of your link-bait content if you seed it from power user accounts. I wrote an article going into more depth on this topic. Again, this is a Search Engine Land article. It's called The Social Media Underground. Here's a quick example of how you might execute a social media campaign and leverage that for SEO purposes. This one I did for a client a couple years back. Overnightprints.com was the client. The contest was Business Cards for Life. I leveraged a relationship I have with Jeremy Shoemaker, a famous blogger and internet marketer. His nickname is Shoe Money. His blog, a Technorati 100 blog, shoemoney.com. He ran the contest on his blog. The entry form and details of the contest, of course, were on overnightprints.com, so that the links helped the Overnight Prints site. And everybody won. Everybody got what they wanted out of it. Jeremy got an amazing new business card, and because of all the links from this contest, from design sites, from Jeremy's site and so forth, the Overnight Prints site ended up on page one in Google for business cards, where they were nowhere prior to the contest. And they were like number two or three for that very competitive keyword because of this contest. Pretty exciting stuff. So we are about out of time here, so let me just offer you one last quick tip, and that would be to avoid SEO myths. And let me just show you that slide here. Okay, so myths are created inadvertently and unintentionally. It's not something that somebody maliciously decided, I'm going to spread this myth that meta keywords are massively important, and because they're not, they're completely worthless. So it wasn't done maliciously, but nevertheless, if somebody told you we need to do meta keywords, if it's your consultant or it's one of your staff, and you put all this effort into it, they're not going to come back to you and say, you know, actually, I made a mistake. I just learned that meta keywords were never counted by Google as a positive ranking factor, not in the entire history of Google. Sorry about that. Made a mistake. All that effort we put into meta keywords was a waste of time. Of course, they're not going to do that, because besides getting egg on their face, they'll probably get fired. So myths get perpetuated because of this. You need to understand the mythology of SEO so that you can avoid those myths. And a few examples here are SEO is a one-time activity. SEO is free. Edu links get extra weight. Googlebot doesn't read CSS code. All these sorts of myths. There are tons of them out there. I wrote a three-article series on this topic, which, again, you can find on searchengineland.com. So that is a wrap for my presentation. And if you wanted to learn more about SEO best practices, I'm happy to offer you a white paper and checklist on that topic that you can get from my assistant just by emailing admin@stephenspencer.com. If you had questions for me at any point, feel free to shoot me an email, stephen@stephenspencer.com. And remember, you can only eat an elephant one bite at a time, so just start with a couple of quick things to implement from this presentation and just get started.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks, Stephen. That was a very informative and insightful presentation. On behalf of EM&C, I want to thank you for attending this first installment of our Digital Marketing Rockstar webinar series, and again for opting to view this breakout session. Don't forget that all our sessions are available on demand. Just click the widget marked with the star below if you'd like to watch another breakout session or the main session again. Thanks, everyone. And